It's Window Nation's semi-annual sale, and it's a big deal. Right now, get 50% off all windows along with no interest for 5 years plus bonus savings when you schedule a consult today. If your windows leak, get foggy or hot, or you're paying high utility bills, that's a big deal. With Window Nation's semi-annual sale, you can replace your windows and save a big deal too. Schedule a no-obligation in-home estimate now. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
This is Matt Spiegel, and I can't wait to bring you Season 2 of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. It's a job so special that even Joe Buck told us he will probably go back to it.
I'm 53, basically 54. I think it's too early to say nevers at this point in my life. I think at some point I'll get the itch again.
Incredible guests sharing great stories from your favorite teams coming this year. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts.
94 WIP FM HD1 Philadelphia from the Tasty Cake Studios. This is BGN Radio on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
We are live for the very first time from 94 WIP, and I gotta tell you, I am pumped to be here. We are just, less than 24 hours away, Eagles-Browns. We have our disagreements. We're gonna fight back and forth all season, but today we get to talk about actual, real football that is happening here. The whole gang is here. John Barchard, James Elzer, Brandon Lee Gouton, for the very first time in the WIP studios. Gentlemen, what is happening, my friend? How are you guys?
I'm pumped, man. We've been waiting a long time to get on WIP to have this opportunity. We've got the Carson Wentz era is about to start. It's just, there's so much excitement now, especially coming from where we were a few weeks ago to the level of excitement heading into this season now. I don't know how you couldn't be just jacked up right now.
BLG making the most, it wasn't the Eagles that made the biggest trade. It's Birds 24/7.
That's right.
With Bleeding Green Nation, as just as we signed up, Mr. Brandon Lee Gouton heading over to take over for the great Tim McManus. BLG, what's happening, man?
Doing all right, John. I'm glad to be here.
Oh, it's there we go. Yeah.
It's our first show, right?
It's weird. Yeah, we got to get the kinks worked out and everything. It's great to be back.
Yes,
on the radio.
Right. That's right. The trio is back, and it's been a crazy offseason, guys, because we went from expecting really just a boring offseason, and we got tricked once again by the great drama that is the Philadelphia Eagles.
Every year.
So we go from probably one of the most exciting off seasons last season with Chip Kelly coming in here, a lot of Super Bowl hype, a lot of, you know, hoop and holler, and definitely one guy, that is me, hyping up the Sam Bradford train, to Sam Bradford being gone, first round pick, and you have a new starter in Philadelphia here. It's been an absolute crazy week, and that's what's so secondary about it. Like, Eric Rowe being traded should be like, whoa, this is a major thing. Uh-huh. And it's so secondary. That's a second round pick that you had last year. Nobody's really talking about it. We're all on the Carson Wentz hype train, and I think rightfully so here, James.
Yeah, John, I think anyone, even someone as big a Bradford supporter as you were for a while there, has to be excited.
Still am, by the way.
Yeah, but
Super Bowl, Sammy Bradford,
get
that going.
We'll get to that later. Let's not get carried away here. But, I mean, look, they got a first and a fourth. I think anyone would have taken a fourth alone for Sam Bradford a few months ago. So just to be able to get that type of return while at the same time letting your fan base know that, okay, we know that this is the Carson Wentz era. We're going to get it started. We're going to start moving towards something. It's just exciting, John. At a time where before it felt like there was a dichotomy within the organization where they wanted to focus on right now and that was it, while also doing the Carson Wentz thing. And it just felt like it wasn't meshing. So to be able to actually start the Wentz era right and look towards the future, it's just added a lot more excitement.
And BLG, I know we've had arguments back and forth about this thing too. And guess what? You were right again. Because I was very much, well, we don't know what Denver would have offered. But on the offseason, I was saying, why waste your time? Bradford's not going to be anymore. You have a team that's ready, that's Super Bowl ready. Just get rid of them. But I guess you got to tip your hat to Howie Roseman here after all of this. There's still a lot of questions to be answered about this draft class, but he set this team up pretty well going into the season here.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny how the Eagles were getting criticized a lot for investing in so many quarterbacks. You know, so many people are like, why are they spending all these money and all these assets and everything
on quarterbacks?
And it turned out to be a great decision. I mean, look, to me, I was always of the mind, again, because I'm always right, obviously. I was always of the mind it was a good idea in the sense that it's the most important position in all of sports. Why not invest a lot in it? Obviously, it paid off for the Eagles. They were obviously going to go into the season with Sam Bradford. That was their intent. But, you know, an offer comes along, too good to turn down. You have it there. And now, you know, we're looking forward to Carson Wentz. You know, it's crazy how not even just Carson Wentz making his, you know, his first NFL start, but we didn't really see him a lot in the preseason. We only saw that first preseason game, limited action, wasn't playing with the starters. It's really exciting to see or to think about getting to see Carson Wentz here.
Yeah, especially when it's not like he came from a major college, as we all know. In case you guys didn't know, he didn't play D1 college football.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's a shocker, but especially in that case, because we haven't even seen him in college much. We've seen YouTube highlights. We've seen bits and pieces here. And we've seen 38 preseason snaps. I mean, this is the first real true taste of Carson Wentz, his ability that we're going to get. And this is hopefully supposed to be the guy who is going to bring us into the future. It'll be exciting to actually watch him play a little football.
And ever since this was announced, like, the Carson Wentz love train is out of control. And more, and rightfully so. I mean, this is an exciting thing. So that's why I want to start here today with you guys. Is this Carson Wentz? I'm excited to see something completely different. It's the opener. This is what the Eagles invested in, and I want to see what this kid has excitement. Or do a lot of people really think Carson Wentz is already the guy, and he is the quarterback of the future here? He's a franchise quarterback. What's your field biology between those two things? Are people just excited to see him, or is he the real deal here?
I think it's a mix of both, John. Obviously, to start this off with a boring
good answer.
But I do think, you know, there's a lot to the fact that the Eagles invested so much in this guy that, you know, people are, you know, like, get him out there. Let's see him. And also the thought that, you know, if the Eagles are going to give up this much to get him, and the coaching staff, all this week we've heard about it. I think Frank Reich said he's really smart, like, all week. And he even kind of, it was weird about it. He was like,
Not just smart.
Yeah. So, I mean, the organization is really high in him. His teammates are really high in him. I was talking to Jordan Matthews this week, and he had talked about how, like, Jason Peters, you know, who is one of the most veteran players, obviously, on the team, he even has respect for Carson Wentz, and that kind of seems like a rare thing. You know, JP doesn't just give out respect to anyone. So it seems like, you know, the organization is obviously high on him, the teammates are high on him and everything. It's just exciting time to go see what he can do.
And there's a lot of respect for John DeFilippo, and I was one of the guys that was kind of like, wow, that's kind of amazing that he took a quarterback coach position here. He had been an offensive coordinator in Cleveland. He was kind of poised to already be on that next level as far as a head coach. So if he's saying those things, and even just to say, hey, this kid's really picking up better than any rookie that I've worked with, even Derek Carr, you have to get excited about that. That is a guy that is, you know, without a doubt, one of the best offensive minds that's in the league here, James.
Yeah, I know. It's always tough, though, to really know what's true, what's not, when you're hearing from a coaching staff, from an organization.
Yeah,
obviously.
What else are they going to say?
Exactly.
Too, right?
They're not going to say, oh, this kid's not picking it up. He's an idiot. We have no chance, obviously. But
unless you're Eric Rowe, because then they don't have a problem.
Well, unless they're getting rid of you. And Carson Wentz isn't going anywhere. Yeah. But I do think that Wentz has shown us that he's mature. It seems like he's not, you know, overblown by the moment. It seems like he's a smart kid from everything we've seen. So you like hearing that, but unlike BLG, who decided to not, you know, take one side or the other, I am going to take the former. I'm going to say that I think the excitement is just about seeing this kid, about, you know, understanding what he can be, what he can do, and moving into the future. And look, if people are excited about the playoffs this year, I don't know what to tell you, because this is not a playoff team. I think the move to trade Sam Bradford, and I know that the organization is saying we're competing, it's for this year as well, and even with what Brandon said, with guys buying into Carson Wentz, this kid has a long way to go. He is not going to step in and be, you know, a stud from day one. So I think that if there is excitement, it's just, you know, the season's getting started. There's always optimism at the beginning of the season. But I think it's somewhat unfounded optimism.
See, I don't buy that. I think the majority of all of the Eagles fans out there really do believe that Carson Wentz is without a doubt the guy. And you see that everywhere.
But
you
you're saying from right now, you're saying he's going to be great from jump
from
street.
From right now, I think there are a lot of – I don't believe – I'm more on the same wavelength that James is. I think that there's way more upside than having Sam Bradford here. I think Sam Bradford is still able to get you in the playoffs in this division. I think everybody can agree with that for the most part. Mm. I think Carson Wentz – of course, yeah, maybe we can – you know, I'm trying to avoid another – the 95th Sam Bradford debate in here. But the – I think Carson Wentz, if he gets to his upside – that's a home run. That's great. But between his leg placement, and listen, we're going to get into it in the 5 o'clock hour. We're also going to give away a pair of tickets.
Still really good.
Eagles Browns opener, great seats. It's the M9 section. So you're in the end zone. You're on that, you know, in between
view.
The first. It's
yeah,
a fantastic
we looked it up
view.
Last night. It's a really good view.
And that's courtesy of NRG. And the thing that I look at with Ray Horton. And the Cleveland Browns defense is they're going to see a rookie quarterback there, and they're going to see a rookie quarterback that still has mechanic problems. They're going to see that slower delivery. They're going to see that the feet just aren't getting planted right. So I really do think that there might be a slight rude awakening coming into this Browns, you know, game in the opener here. And I think that despite how bad the Browns defense looks, and how it doesn't look talented on paper, and even maybe on a lot of people not believers in their offense either, I think this is going to be a lot closer game than people are giving credit for.
Yeah, and I think the Horton thing, you haven't heard much. That's a great point. He is an aggressive defensive coordinator. He likes to blitz. He likes to bring exotic type of schemes. So that is a great point. And then just adding on to that, the fact that Carson Wentz, again, coming from D2, the speed of the game is so much faster. It is going to be a change for him. All he's seen is 38 snaps of vanilla defenses against second and third and fourth stringers. This is going to be something that he has never seen before in his life. And no matter how great he's going to be, there are going to be growing pains. There are going to be issues.
And I think, and that's where it becomes like nervous and excited for me at the same time. Like, I really hope that I'm completely wrong and buying into the DeFilippo and buying into Jordan Matthews, flipping Howie Roseman the ball and saying, I'm ready and he's ready. And you see a lot of different teammates backing him up and saying, yeah, the playbook's really going to open up with Carson Wentz's being here. There's going to be a lot of, you know, a build up to this thing, and game one's going to happen. There's going to be a struggle. And then all of a sudden, everybody's off the bandwagon all at once. You really need to give this kid time, because although the tools are there, the smarts are there, I'm sure he's going to learn fast. I don't know if it's going to come right out of the gate. That's what I'm nervous about. So that's my question to a lot of people that are kind of on the fence on this thing. 888-729-9494 if you want to jump in. It is BGN Radio. Do you think that Carson Wentz is ready to be the franchise guy now, or are you more excited to see them just the debut of him and it's not Sam Bradford? Trying to gauge that today, you know, as we kind of go through this thing. But I tell you what, it's John Barcher, James Zeltzer, Brandon Lee Gowton. We will be back with more. We'll be breaking down the Browns game. We'll be talking and making NFL picks with Kyle Scott from Crossing Broad. That's coming at 5:45. Giving away Eagles tickets at 5 o'clock. It's right here on Sports Radio, 94 WIP.
John Barchard here from BGN Radio, and a lot of people ask me, how do you take your podcast to the next level? How can you do live remotes from different venues? What's the best equipment to use? How do you get started? Well, my friends over at New Media Studios and Trivos have all the answers. It is a complete one-stop shop for all your podcasting needs. A top-of-the-line professional studio with unbeatable prices. You can record your own show with an on-site producer. They'll stream it live, and they'll even host your podcast so they can distribute it to iTunes or any other podcast provider. New Media Studios is also the best in the business if you need to take your podcast on the road. They have everything you need to broadcast live from any venue that you're heading to. And as someone that has been in podcasting for over 10 years, New Media Studios takes all my stress away. I don't have to worry about anything but talking into the microphone. So go check them out at newmediarecordingstudios.com. That's newmediarecordingstudios.com.
This is BGN Radio on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Sue Schilling reminding me that along with Carson Wentz, we don't know who Doug Peterson is either, right?
We got a new coach here.
I mean, like, that's the double element that's coming on here. As we're talking, you know, all things Eagles right here on BGN Radio. John Barcher, James Zeltzer, Brandon Lee Gowton, all hanging out with you on this fine late afternoon. Condolences to the Penn State fans. They have lost in a nail biter. You know, it's coming around.
You're damn right they did. There.
But we don't know what Doug Peterson is either, really. You know, we've been fed this kind of Andy Reid 2.0 type of scenario here where I look at Andy Reid and I look at the Chiefs offense. It's pretty entertaining. I mean, it is different. It is, there's a lot of different wrinkles in there. You see pistol, you see read option, you see gap, you see zone, you see a lot of different things there, but it's still boring in some. It's still the 12-play, 7-minute drive, and it usually ends in a field goal. So I really want to know who Doug Peterson is, too, as we get through this week and the next few games here.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point when you look at that offense. Look, all we want is a coach who's going to take his talent that he has and build that offense based on that talent, right? Utilize the talent of your guys. And that's what I feel that Chiefs offense does well, because it does have Alex Smith. It's not a deep passing offense. It's a running offense. It's methodical, plotting the ball down the field. That's the skill set that those guys have, and they're coaching towards that skill set. So if Doug Peterson is going to come in here and do it that way and look at what he has, and we've seen it a little bit in the preseason, Josh Huff, the way he's used him has been interesting.
Yeah,
and
so feed him drag routes and end rounds,
exactly.
And stop.
Don't let him think. Don't let him catch. Just say run. And that's what he's doing. And I think that's a real positive so far.
Yeah. And that was something that I think was missing from last year, where it was just scheme, scheme, scheme. And it wasn't putting the ball in the best player's hands. And again, it was kind of hard to find one last year. I still think it's hard to find one this year, but you're at least maximizing the skill set in which they are doing the thing at. And that's where you heard Doug in that little bit there, BLG, where it's Carson Wentz is a perfect fit for my offense. And I, and maybe a lot of those different wrinkles do really fit that. But when you hear those things, do you buy into, yes, this quarterback, this system, it's a match made in heaven type of thing?
Well, here's what I'm thinking, John. You know, we're talking about earlier about how Carson Wentz might not be fully ready right away. You know, he came from North Dakota State. The adjustment period could take some time for him. I think Doug Peterson's offense is a good offense to transition into, because when you look at Kansas City, they're not asking Alex Smith to carry the team. And that's the same thing we're looking at probably early on here in Philadelphia. You know, Carson Wentz is coming in to be the franchise quarterback of the future, but he doesn't have to come in and carry the whole team on his back right now. They're going to run the ball a lot. They're going to rely on that strong defense like the Chiefs rely on their defense. There might not be a lot of yards. The Chiefs never really ranked highly in yards each year, but they ranked a lot higher in points because they have those shorter fields because of the defense and special teams and everything. I think that's the setup here in Philadelphia. You're not asking Wentz to carry the team. You're just asking him to play within the offense, and I think that's a good starting point.
Yeah, what you're saying is Fletcher Cox and Jim Schwartz need to carry this football team. And that's what we thought coming in. And I don't think there's really any difference there between Sam carrying it, because we obviously know that's not going to happen, and that's probably not going to happen in Minnesota. And Carson really can't do that now early. So you need this defense to hammer it down. You need those special teams touchdowns. You need all of that coming into there. And you need a running game. Like, it's all based around that. That's what Kansas City was good at, too, between three different guys who barely had a name other than Jamaal Charles.
Yeah, no, and then also, I mean, you brought it up here, right? Before the Carson Wentz trade, before even when we thought Wentz was going to be redshirting, as it were, this season, we were all about that defense, right? We were talking about Schwartz and the excitement of seeing those guys out there and the blitzing and the fun and free Vinny and all that stuff. Now it's all about Wentz, and that defense has kind of gone by the wayside, which is really...
It's secondary. In 1 week, it's just been like, oh yeah, what happened over here?
And that's we were jacked for it. You know?
I think that this fan base thinks that Carson Wentz is the guy. That's it. I mean, there is no arguing out of that. There is going to be such there's this no pressure feel. It's like, yeah, the kid's got to get time and do all this other stuff. But I mean, if he doesn't look like fit the part in this first game, there's going to be a huge talk there. But at the end of the day, I hope there isn't either. Because at the end of the day, if it really goes south, Howie did a great job of having an insurance policy.
Yeah.
Even I know it might end up being anywhere from 20 to 32 on the board. You still have a first-round pick. You can do something with that. You might even need to take another quarterback at that time, which is okay. And guess what? They're going to need to anyway, because they need to replace Chase Daniel at some point after that massive contract finally fades away into the sun. So if you have Carson Wentz up front, now you have the ability to possibly, you know, later on down, I'm not saying a first round pick, but you can, it allows you to go into those second and third rounds and go, let's see if we can develop this guy. Maybe
you're already giving up on Carson Wentz.
No. I'm not giving up on it. I'm just saying, like, there
that
are.
That was quick. There man, are, he hasn't played a game yet, Johnny.
There are things in place to protect him in case it goes south. I don't think it's going to go south, but I tell you who thinks it was going to go south. That's Cleveland Browns, man. And I can understand passing on a guy. Look, in their situation, it makes a lot of sense. They need a lot of different football players out there. But don't tell me that Carson Wentz is a sub-20 quarterback in this league. Do you know how hard it is to be under 20 in this league? I mean, you're talking about, you're getting into the Case Keenum ranges there. Mm-hmm. You're getting into a lot of, I don't see how Carson Wentz could be that much of a failure.
Yeah, and look, I think with the key, and we were just hitting on it there, is just if he has a bad few weeks, he's not a failure, all right? There is time. I think, at least what I'm looking for out of Carson Wentz week one is I want to see how he handles the moment. I want to see that maturity. I want to see if he doesn't look ruffled. If he makes a mistake, I want to see him go back out there and keep slinging it and keep having that swagger. And I know swagger is a bit of a amorphous kind of thing, but I think you can tell. I think you can feel it when you're watching a football game. If a quarterback has that type of mentality or that type of, you know, leadership ability, and I think that that's going to be crucial on Sunday, more so than how many interceptions he throws or if he's making the right reads.
And first of all, if you're the Browns, why are you even saying that? Why are you even saying that he's not a top
bulletin board? Commit to yourself. Say it after week one. I mean, why when you're about to play the team?
And since when did the Cleveland Browns become the authority on quarterback play? I mean, it's a new regime. I
it's
get
more
that.
More the opposite, right?
But still, yeah, I mean, exactly.
That,
so I mean,
that jersey with all the quarterback names.
Yeah, it's almost like their lack of endorsement is an endorsement for the Eagles and Carson Wentz.
Oh, they don't like him? We'll take him.
Yeah, we'll take that guy. I think, you know, I think I go back to that first preseason game and the way Wentz went in there. And again, it's preseason, you know, we're talking about summer games that don't matter. But still, I think the way he came in there, and remember now, like, the Eagles' plan wasn't to put him in that 2-minute drive at the end of the first half. You know, they were going to let Chase play out the first half. They're going to give Carson, you know, time in the third. But, you know, Chase Daniel was kind of stinking it up. Mm-hmm. And I think the team just kind of wanted to see what Carson Wentz could do. And he went in there and like they scored a touchdown or anything, but you know, he finished out that game before the injury strong. I think we saw those flashes of potential. That's something I've seen this summer in training camp and everything, but I think we're also going to see the mistakes. You know, he's an aggressive guy, and the coaching staff this week said they're opening up the playbook. They're not going to dial it down at all. They're going to let him take shots down the field, you know, so we're going to see some mistakes here, but I think we're also going to see the potential.
And you need that as a quarterback. You absolutely, I mean, yes. That is the to succeed in this league, you cannot care about anything. Because I remember, did you guys see the Gruden QB camp with Favre when they kind of redid that a couple of weeks ago? The main thing that I took away from Brett Favre in those conversations was like, yeah, they went through this play where they ran it twice, and they're like, you know, you're not supposed to throw to this receiver. And Brett Favre did it twice, and they scored almost instantly because of it, because he didn't care. He explained, like, as a younger quarterback, you have to have the mentality of like, well, I don't care. I'm just going to do it, and that's what's going to make me either succeed or fail, as opposed to when he was in Minnesota. It's like, there's no way in hell I'm doing that. I could lose the football game. But Carson Wentz needs to be that aggressive. There needs to a deep threat to develop here for any offense to go.
And I'm telling you, we saw the opposite of that last year. That is Mark Sanchez's problem. Obviously, there are talent issues and whatnot, but that dude makes a mistake and he gets inside his head. You could see it. He's not the same type of player after he makes that first mistake.
And he
guess
just
what?
Makes so many mistakes.
Yeah, that first mistake is always coming. So I think it's crucial. I think we need. And look, from everything we've seen of Carson Wentz, it does appear that that's the type of kid he is. So I'm positive about it, but I just want to, you know, make everyone know there are going to be mistakes and we can't overreact them too early.
Well, we can't have a BGN radio show without our main man all the way down in West Palm Beach. Stephen Lee, what's happening, man? How are you?
I'm good, man. BGN on WYP. This is a beautiful thing.
It is. We are honored to be here, man. What's going on with you?
Not much. It's Christmas Eve. I'm enjoying this Saturday, the calm before the storm.
I love it.
And one question I have for you guys, because obviously everybody's focused on Carson Wentz, is who's one offensive player that you think could kind of alleviate some of this pressure and help us win the game if he can't? I feel like people are really sleeping on Ryan Matthews, and we all
that's
know
my guy, man.
He's, prob- He's probably going to get hurt.
I was just writing Ryan Matthews on my sheet of paper as you were saying.
I think that this guy, if he stays healthy, and that's a big if, he could go for 1,200 or 1,300 yards. He's that explosive of a running back, and I think we could see glimpses of that tomorrow.
And the gap blocking system that they're running here that's what he fits in best. You saw him last year, even with a diminished offensive line play, still fit in between those holes, and I think it hides a lot of the deficiencies that the offensive line may or may not have, which we still haven't gotten into yet because we don't know what's going on there. But other than Ryan Matthews, BLG, is there another player that kind of sticks out? Is it going to have to be somebody in the wide receiving corps?
Three letters, John. DGB.
Plaxico Jr.
Yeah, Dorial Green-Beckham, I think, is almost the perfect target for Carson Wentz. I mean, Doug said he's still getting small doses of the playbook. I talked to DGB this week, and he kind of said he's going to play a lot. We'll see how that works out. But I think, one thing we've seen that's an issue with Carson Wentz is he's kind of been overthrowing his receivers at times. And sometimes, you're looking at this receiving core with Aguilar and Jordan Matthews and everyone. And, there's been a lot of drops. Josh Huff, obviously, too. DGB, I think he has some of the best hands of the group. I think, you don't have to worry so much about those accuracy issues with him. You throw the ball up there and he gets it.
Yeah, and we'll get into DGB because there we had some interesting interview with Dave Spadaro about DGB and his future and where he's going to be. We'll talk more about that. It is BGN Radio right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP. So on the podcast this week, you can find us on Twitter at BGN_radio, which, by the way, giving away a pair of tickets to the Browns-Eagles home opener in the 5 o'clock hour, so be paying attention to that. Also, if you go to at BGN_radio on Twitter, there is a pinned tweet up there. We are giving away a Carson Wentz jersey. And all you got to do is follow us there, follow the directions, just retweet it out. We're going to have probably announce that right before we get into NFL Picks with Kyle Scott at 5:45. We want to get into DGB because Dave Spadaro was on our podcast this week, had some interesting nuggets. But first, let us get into the NFC least.
The follies, the screwballs, and the screw-ups. It's BGN Radio's NFC Least on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Now, if you were following along last year, this is where we like to get into basically all the dumb stuff that happens around the league. Now, the Eagles aren't excluded in this, but most of the time, they definitely are. So what we like to do is just kind of go around the horn. So, James, where are we heading to first this offseason?
Well, John, being the first NFC least of the season, I think we have to go with the least of them all. What's going on in Dallas right now?
Yeah, seriously, can somebody explain to me why in the hell Tony Romo is even contemplating coming back? You're done, man. It's all gone. Like, the second time you break your back, you should be done. But now everybody is riding the Dak Prescott train like he's Tom Brady here, BLG. Can we just throw up the 3-13 thing here? I mean, this defense is probably going to be even worse than it has been before in the past. I'm tired of looking at the Cowboys every time that there's... The Cowboys fans honestly believe that when their best players get injured and people like Cole Beasley take over, that they're going to run home and take over the nation. Can somebody stop the Dallas hype that comes around on every single channel that I'm watching here?
No one can stop it, John, because of all those first-round picks they have. There's so many.
They just got one right now.
We completely forgot about our entire theme this offseason was that Gil Brandt had tweeted out that they hired a nutritionist that makes really good salads, so that's like having an additional first-round pick. Are you kidding me? You're going to hear that all year because I'm going to make fun of every single Dallas game possible.
Yes, and actually, I did actually see an article where Dak was compared to Tom Brady in the way he prepares. I'm not even
just
joking.
This week, yeah.
It was on ESPN.com.
That is amazing.
Yeah, so that was it. I know you didn't even know that. So, yeah. All right, let's do it. We always have to, go in our own backyard. What's happening with the Eagles right now, Johnny?
I mean, there's not a lot to complain about this offseason, right? But I'm going to look at Chris Gibbons and Reuben Randall. Because how on earth do you not make a football team where nobody catches a football? And you've been a veteran in this league. Like Chris Givens, whatever. Reuben Randall. Who's like number two, number three coming from New York. And then all of a sudden, I'm good. I has the gall to come out and tell us that he's giving effort when
He's too good at the point, John. He doesn't need to give effort.
And we can't see it.
Yeah, the whole thing with Ruben Randle was that he even said that it just doesn't look like he's trying, because that's how talented he is. John, it's so funny that these Eagles receivers were so bad, and for these guys not to make the team, it wasn't like they were trying and they just weren't any good. They weren't even trying.
Yeah, it blows my mind that those two guys could not make this NFL roster, and here we are. We were rooting for a guy in Paul Turner who had almost zero athletic ability. He made this football team. I don't care if it's the practice squad. How does Paul Turner make a squad over those two? I'm still baffled by this.
Because he is the greatest preseason receiver in the history of the sport, John. All right, let's head up the turnpike. New York Giants, what's happening?
The New York Giants. I don't know. I got nothing. They were boring. They were absolutely boring. No. Ben McAdoo's mustache still sucks.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. All right, so let's end it out. I was going to do something magnanimous here because Washington won the division last year. So,
you know,
I think that buys them a break in the first NFC East.
You
know what? They're still racist.
Yeah, still racist. Washington still racist.
And so, that's going
to
do it.
There you go. There's the NFC East. We'll bring it to you every Saturday. We can make fun of everybody, including ourselves. What we won't make fun of is the fact that Dave Spadaro on our podcast this week hinted out, listen, you're going to see DGB starting this football game. The other things he also explained, which I've always thought this ever since the trade happened. And again, this is, I think you get excited when Dennis Kelly, who's everybody has hated for an eternity, and you turn him into a potential, maybe a number two wide receiver. So Dave Spadaro also said, he's got a long way to go. And I agree with that wholeheartedly. I think DGB in any offense, is going to take a bunch of time because maybe he's got a little bit of Eric Rowe in him if you kind of pick up what
Put two and two together there.
So when you see DGB in this offense, I'm thinking second and five, third and five, red zone. Jordan Matthews between the 20s, DGB once you're in the 20s. That's how I think you have to operate here. He's going to be a mismatch for a lot of those small cornerbacks. Slant routes, in routes, you know, that's great. The all-important fade route, definitely. That's right in his wheelhouse. But there's just not enough there as far as the root tree goes. And I really see, I don't know, I get the sense that you're going to see a lot of in and out with Jordan Matthews and DGB. I think that almost has to happen. Because I look at both of those guys, and they're going to win in the slot a lot of the time. I still think Jordan Matthews might have a shot of being on the outside in this offense.
I think that they're at least going to try him out there, but regardless, Jordan Matthews right now is a much better football player than DGB is when it comes to route running, when it comes to everything else involved, and even his hands, better. But I think the Plaxico Jr., man, that's what we're going for, right? That fade route, look, that was the first time I think I've ever seen a successful fade route in my 35 years on this planet by the Eagles in the preseason, so
it actually worked.
I know, you're so used to
Riley Cooper and was like, oh man, that's it. And then it actually works for
it
once,
works.
And now it's here to stay forever.
So, but look, if nothing else, I think there's the key is just because he was a second round pick last year, just because he's 6'5 and talented physically and has the measurables, that doesn't mean that he's ready to come in right now and contribute. That's really the thing. It's going to take some time for this guy here.
Yeah, and if he couldn't learn the playbook in Tennessee, like, it's going to take him a while. You know, you're talking about
the exotic smash mouth football playbook,
whatever that is. What is going on in Tennessee? All the reverse sweeps that are. Who coined that phrase, by the way?
I think it was Malarkey, I believe.
Oh
it was
gosh,
one of those guys. It was someone on the Titans
who
said.
Why on earth would you hire that dude to run your franchise? Anyway, so between not being able to learn there, coming in week three of the preseason, it's just one of those things where, like, yeah, that's why it's kind of confusing to me, BLG, is if he's going to start a lot, is that really make you feel that comfortable about, you know, if he, it's kind of a weird thing where you need to learn the playbook. He's not going to be able to run everything. He's probably going to forget a few things. I don't know if that's great for Carson Wentz to start out game one to have him play 80, 90% of the snaps coming in here.
It's also a weird thing because it's just like, I think with Carson overall, I think he's actually going to be a good target for him. I wrote an article on Philadelphia Magazine for this yesterday. I think he's going to be really the perfect target for Carson Wentz just because of that size. Carson's not going to have to be 100% accurate. He can just throw it to him.
Yep.
I mean, DGB is an impressive receiver. For as much as, you know, there's struggles there and there's reason to believe, you know, it could take time. 30 of his 32 catches last year, first downs.
Yeah,
that's an amazing stat. That's really hard. I mean, and again, only 32 catches, so let's not get carried away.
Sure.
But to have 30 of your 32 catches be a first down is real. And it says something about, we've kind of, the knock has been a little bit the football intelligence or this or that. That says something. At least he knows where he needs to be or can get in position to be able to make first downs. That's important.
And I see, that's where I guess I see him more winning. I see him as more the third down guy. You know, and it's not like the third down guy as you think of Jason Avant. You know,
no, he is like, not Jason
give
Avant.
Give me that. Yeah. So, but I really
Paul
do.
Paul Turner is Jason
yeah,
Avant.
I mean, that's true. That's right. I forgot. My mistake. So there is, yeah, I know. There's a lot of situations where he's going to be able to win. I'm just not sure if he's ever going to hit that number one, number two wide receiver. I know Mike Quick loves him. So I can't, you know, that's, he's played the position. He's done all those things. We're all amateur couch scouts here, but I just, you know, I see, I don't know. What do you think? DGB, the number, is six touchdowns too much?
No,
to ask
actually,
if he's going to down there?
I think that's what it seems with how much he's going to play. I think that's a very legitimate thing to ask for, especially as a red zone threat. But, you know, look, whether or not Tennessee is a well-run organization, that's up for debate. There were reasons that they were willing to get rid of this guy after taking him in the second round last year. For Dennis Kelly, who, whatever else you want to say, is a backup lineman at best in this league. So, look, new place, new face, all that kind of stuff, but there are still reasons to worry. You can't just because he was a second-round pick last year doesn't mean that he's ready to come in and dominate. That's really what it comes down to.
And speaking of worrying, you know, we'll get into it a little more in the 5 o'clock hour, too, when we're giving away two tickets to the home opener here, but I feel oddly comfortable about Nelson Agholor this year.
Wait,
is that weird?
Why?
Yes.
What has he done? I've been as staunch an Agholor defender, give him time, whatever, but he has done nothing to make
me
feel better.
Nothing.
It's like he literally can't catch the ball. It's wild.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think that they would have moved on from him if they could have, regardless of whatever his contract was? Like, if his contract would allow him to be moved or cut, do you think that they would chop him off here?
I think there would be a better chance just from how he's played. He's been so bad this offseason. There's been, from spring practices to training camp to preseason, there's been so many drops. He just hasn't really stood out at all. There's never like a practice even where it was like, wow, Nelson Agholor really flashed today. He's just showing nothing.
Well, he hasn't flashed since that preseason game last year. That one play where Sanchez throws the ball like 10 feet over his head, makes that jumping catch and the turn on a dime and takes off. That was awesome. We were all like, oh yeah, first round pick. This is what we get here. And then we've seen literally nothing else. Maybe that one-handed catch, I guess, against Washington was nice. Whatever. It's unbelievable how disappointing he has been.
Yeah, and I don't want to make excuses kind of coming through here, but there is, you know, there's a lot to figure out with him, and I think it is 100% mental. And we'll get into that into the 5 o'clock hour here. Gonna be giving away tickets, so you want to hang on there. Wentz jersey's coming right after that, plus Kyle Scott coming up at 5:45 for NFL picks right here on 94 WIP.
And of course, NAS are the letters that spell.
It is BGN Radio, right here, Sports Radio 94 WIP. We are honored to be with you this evening.
Afternoon, evening?
Well, 5 o'clock, right? It's the mark of the evening time.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere here.
Going to start drinking, right?
Can we?
I don't know.
Water.
I'll drink if Iowa State beats Iowa today. That's what I'm going to tell you at 7:30. But we are, just like I said, we're going to give away tickets in about 10 minutes. So all you got to do, 888-729-9494. Not right now. Unless you want to get in and talk. We're always happy to talk Eagles with you guys, but we're giving away a pair of tickets. And then the Carson Wentz jersey, 5:45. We're going to have a lot of fun there. But I am oddly comfortable with Nelson Agholor this year. Oddly, just don't have any strong feelings. Like, I still expect the dropsies and some of that still, you know, rookie hangover coming out in the first couple of games here. But I really do think this is all mental. I think that this is, you know, the change. And I don't know what it's like for a rookie that's going to come in here with a head coach that he knows and trusts, or maybe he didn't all out. Who knows? That boat's going to be out for a long time. But then to switch and then go to a completely different coaching regime your second year, everybody thinks that, you know, has their own separate thoughts objectively when you come in here. There was a lot of controversy with him in the offseason. So, you know, I don't know why, but I think he kind of gets past that eventually. And I'm not saying 1,300 yards or 1,500 yards or whatever, but if you're going to give me 900 yards and a couple of touchdowns, I think everybody would take that from Nelson Agholor.
Absolutely. Just catch the ball, and I think we'll be a lot happier. But I was big last year on trying to make sure that people didn't overreact. He was a rookie. And I think we all got kind of, you know, misled by that season two seasons ago with OBJ and Mike Evans and Sammy Watkins and all these receivers just having dominant rookie seasons. In the history of the NFL, that doesn't happen. That is really rare. It's rare for a receiver at that position to come in and do really well. So I'm willing to give Agholor more time. It's just I don't know how after what you've seen this preseason you could feel any better than you did before.
Yeah, and I guess that's kind of where I don't expect people to. It's just more of this is all feeling and non-reality going on here because the reality is I don't want it. I mean, maybe that's what it is because I'm not ready to just completely say
he's a bust.
Rebuild yeah. or bust or whatever. You kind of wasted that entire draft class. I get it. You know, whatever. We don't have to rehash that again. So more and more or less, I wanted the hope to be that Carson Wentz has not one, not two, but actually three targets to kind of throw here to between Agholor, DGB, and Jordan Matthews just in the wide receiving core. Obviously, there's Ertz, there's Sproles. There's a lot of different things that you can do here. But should I just not be having any hope here at all, BLG?
I think if Agholor could even be an average receiver, I think that would be huge at this point. That's how much like I'm not believing
in him. What
a
bummer, huh?
Right?
Bummer.
I just don't see it. And I think mental could be a part of it, John, but I don't think it's all that. I just don't think we're seeing, because even if that was true, I feel like that's kind of the case with Josh Huff, I think more so too. But we still see Huff make those explosive plays mm-hmm. every once in a while. So I feel like, you know, it's just a mental thing with him. The talent is there. I just don't even know with Agholor because he's not showing me anything. I'm not getting anything from him.
And that's what's crazy is I think people have, like, we all remember last year, Josh Huff would, if you had a fire pit and you would ask the question, should you shove him in? Everybody would be like, oh, yeah. And then one preseason in a complete, one play.
Yeah, we were talking about
completely
him not
flips
making
around.
The team,
yes.
John. Like, that was the question was not, is Josh Huff going to be a big part of this team? The question was, is he going to make the team? And now all of a sudden, he's this weapon that people are excited about.
Oh, well, you can really use him. Are you kidding me? No. Like, hold on. Time out there. I'm not disagreeing. Like, yeah, that's the strength of Doug Peterson and finding the strength of his players and being able to kind of put them in a position to win. So why can't he do that with Nelson Agholor? Obviously, it's all on Nelson to do the job and to finally catch a ball and, you know, challenge him to be great and all
finally
that.
Catch
he's
the ball.
Too good to be bad. That's what I'm saying. Like,
but
to,
is he?
To BLG's point, the bottom floor for me on this kid is average. You know, like the worst he could do is average. The ability is too good. If he just holds on to the damn ball, everything changes. And I know that sounds weird because, dude, he's a wide receiver.
Yeah,
he's
supposed most
to,
important
that's
thing.
His job. But it's the same thing with Huff because when he has the ball in his hands, it's an absolute wrecking ball. That's why we enjoy him on kickoff so many times. That's where he wins. And I'm just not ready to give up on Nelson Agholor yet.
Well, the real interesting part about the Agholor thing is that the whole sell job that we got last year on Agholor as a first-round pick was that he's ready for the NFL. He's pro-ready. He's the most pro-ready
Jeremy
receiver
Macklin.
In the first round. He
right.
is.
We literally had Jeremy Macklin.
No, we had people saying he is Jeremy Macklin already, right
or,
now.
Or better.
Or better. And it's obviously that ship has sailed.
Whoops.
But just in terms of just being able to be an NFL receiver, it's really jarring, John, because as of right now, if you had to place a bet, if you had to put money down on the table, I'd bet on him never being a successful NFL receiver.
Well, it's hard to, and you can't. Like I guess that's where it just comes back around again, where it's more hope than anything. And a lot of people are also hoping that Carson Wentz is the guy, and I also think that people already think that he is the guy. And the other interesting thing that you've heard this week, and maybe it's just in the minority here, but Chase Daniel should start the first 2 weeks. Let's see what the offensive line is going to do. You can't go back there. We already know that road. And the thing that keeps getting thrown out, and this literally happens with every single rookie quarterback that you bring up that maybe not ready, you know, with the physicality part or maybe even the mentality part, maybe doesn't know the whole playbook, and everybody refers to David Carr. And can I just say that David Carr is one quarterback and not like 329 of them? Because they always point out to this. There's only
it's the
one.
Go-to.
It's only one guy in my mind that you could maybe sell me on. Yeah, the career got ruined because he was in there too early, but he also had a lot of success. And that's RG3 early. Mm-hmm. You know, but the injuries kind of for him and whatever. It's Washington. Who knows? I'm rooting for that too. The odd part about this football game is I'm oddly rooting for RG3 to be good just so I can lick Dan Snyder's tears just a tiny bit. Oh, thank you, sir. You made another mistake, and that makes me so happy. But at the same time, I look at his brother, Derek, which, by the way, I had to look this up because it's a rare instance that you flip your starting quarterback a couple of days out, a week before the season starts. You go, actually, we're going to go with the other guy. Mm-hmm. The last time I remember that happening is 2014. Derek Carr gets swapped in for Matt Schaub. Thank God they did that, first of all. And that wasn't a better situation. There was no Amari Cooper there.
No.
There was no real great offensive line, running back. There was nothing there. I mean, his yards per attempt, sure, that's going to be bad. There was no weapons there. Still kind of was last year, too. But at the same time, don't sell me on quarterbacks that aren't ready to play the game because of whatever. If you're good in this league, you're good, and you need to play. Rookie quarterbacks that have come in and out and through here, you look at the great ones, like even Roethlisberger. I'm sure, you know, Brett Favre had to deal with a lot of the time, too. Offensive lines aren't exactly great across the NFL, and I just don't understand this, like, got to protect them. And maybe that's the hangover from they were going to sit this kid for an entire year, and now people are starting to get a little worried. It's like, oh, man, now it's here. Oh, crap, now we have to kind of back this thing up on the field.
We saw it with Andrew Luck, I think is one of the best examples in recent years when he took that team to the playoffs in his rookie season. He was getting killed. He was running all around like he had to use his mobility to survive. And that's the case with Wentz. At least, if nothing else, if he's going to be in this situation, at least he has the ability to move around, to get out of harm's way, which David Carr did not, as far as it goes. Not that he wasn't mobile, but he was not that type of quarterback. And
he was just bad.
David Carr was bad. Blaine Gabbert was bad.
Nothing got ruined by any of those things.
I think you're right. Look, I think the key point here is that if you are going to be an all-time great, or even just one of the great quarterbacks in the league at any time, you are generally going to be good enough or at least passable from the start. You don't see a lot of those guys come out and just be completely inept on the field and then turn into a great quarterback years later.
And I think with Carson James, you touched on it with the mobility factor. I also think, you know, he's going to turn 24, I think, in December 30th. You know, this guy, he's not like a younger rookie. You know, he's coming into the NFL. He has a physical, mature body, has a good frame. You know, it's not like they're throwing in some underdeveloped kid, some 20-year-old or 21-year-old kid in there and just hoping for the best. I mean, I think he can. And look what he ran at North Dakota State. You know, he ran a pro-style offense. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, he's going to have – it's not like this Carr situation where you're worrying about him too much where he's going to get killed out there.
Yeah, and you know, if you want to see this thing live, if you want to see it in person with great seats, here's what you need to do right now. 888-729-9494. You're going to receive a pair of tickets – to the home opener, courtesy of NRG. I mean, honestly, it doesn't amazing. Get any better on this opening weekend. So call in right now, 888-729-9494. You will win a pair of tickets. We're going to take, since it's for Carson Wentz, it's yes. Carson Wednesday, it's Carson Wentz weekend. Let's take caller number 11 right now on the lines. So, and to BLG's point, there is, you know, that was the one thing that worried us, James, coming into here. Even if Bradford was still here and there was going to be this waiting game, he is 24. Marcus Mariota is 22 coming in his second year. Winston is the same, 22. Like, you have to get the clock rolling, and I am so relieved that it's rolling right now to see what they have here.
Absolutely. But here's one thing that I do worry about, going back to the mobility we were just talking about. I do get a little worried about this kid protecting himself. You know, we've seen it already. This kid, the ribs. I mean, I want, if he's going to run, I want him to go down. I want him to slide. And we've already been through the whole Michael Vick thing. I don't want to see Carson Wentz, because he's a tough kid, man. You get the feeling that he sees someone coming at him, he's lowering his shoulder and he's going right at him.
We saw him flip.
And I love that. I love that as a football fan, as what I'm watching, I love that. But for right now, don't do that, Carson. Like, just take care of your body, learn the league, acclimate yourself, and then, you know, once you get a little more comfortable,
well, that's
maybe
part
start
of it.
Barreling
into
people.
I'm going to disagree with you a little bit here, too, because if that's how he wants to play the game, play it that way. You know, you can't, I mean, there are things you can teach him, be like, hey man, there's no real necessary
just be smart about it.
Take the slide. Like,
yes.
Just take the extra 5 yards.
I get it. If you need to, if that yard is the first down, it's third and five, and you've got four and you got to dive for that first, I get that. You can play smart football. I'm just saying, don't take unnecessary hits. Don't put yourself and your body in positions that they don't need to be put in because there's a lot like relying on you now.
And even with quarterbacks that have had like that number one pedigree, and the first two that I think all jump out who are still playing in this league, Alex Smith, Sam Bradford, we know those two guys pretty well. And you can say, well, yeah, if you put it into an awful situation, you're just not going to succeed in this league. But they were handed probably two of the worst situations ever, from going to from St. Louis to here to now freaking Minnesota. Like, he's had a whirlwind of seven different coordinators, 35 different starting offensive linemen. You know, 450,000.
He's never had a skilled player who was any good with him. Right, right. We heard that narrative.
And he's still here. He is still here. A team just paid for his services for a first-round pick. Alex Smith led a team into the NFC Championship game and got, no, we're going to let's go to ship you out to Kansas City. You know, and they adapted. They were still here. As they might not be the best quarterbacks on the planet Earth, and I think we've established that already.
Yeah, I think they're not. We
right?
can say that.
So, you know, but, right, so, but they are still here.
Yeah.
They're still here.
It's
and you
point.
Have to do that. You either have it mentally in this league or you do not. So if Carson Wentz, and you're going to know if Carson Wentz has it probably by week 8, you're going to know if he has that ability to improve, to learn from his mistakes, and to move on. And that's what this season's all about for me. I don't know. Like, as soon as even when the trade goes down, I know we want to compete and we want the Eagles to be interesting, but I'm like, I just want to see how Carson Wentz develops. I don't really care about wins this year.
I don't either at all, to be blatantly honest. Like, yeah, you know, you don't want to watch 16 games and only win 3 of them at any time, anywhere, but I'm with you, John. I wins and losses just don't matter to me. I want Carson Wentz to develop. I want to see the development, and I want to get excited about the future with this kid. But I personally just don't. Playoffs are nowhere near my radar right now. I'm just thinking about Carson Wentz going out there and getting his career started. That's where my mind is at.
Now, if they get to there and surprise us all, well,
we'd love to
go
be wrong.
Find a pony and let's ride, man. Like, I'm ready to rock and roll.
Then he could be legit.
Yes,
we're talking franchise guys.
Yes. So, because if you're putting that with a potential top 10, top 5 defense and a guy who's like got it, wow. And the only other situation I can think of that is, and it's not even like that of a great one, but it's kind of what happened with Russell Wilson and all that stuff.
It's almost exactly. It's a great point.
Except for, you know, Matt Flynn and first round picks and all that. But we want to break this thing down. So we will continue to talk Eagles, talk Browns, and NFL picks coming up at 5:45. It's right here. It's BGN Radio. On 94 WIP.
This is BGN Radio on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Lord,
congratulations to Holt Galatz or Galatz. I'm going to be calling you a little bit, but man, we're going to email you those tickets. You are the winner of a pair of Eagles tickets to see the Eagles and the Browns, courtesy of NRG. Also, coming up next week in 94 WIP, we're going to be giving away an amazing prize as well. And it's a fun new way to do it. So, an honorary captain for the Eagles-Steelers game coming September 25th. You're going to wear a pair of tickets for that game. You're going to be able to go on the field and participate in the pregame coin toss, which is amazing. You're going to hang out with Mike and Merrill in the booth, which I wish we could kind of do that like every single time. And it's kind of it's really cool. So you're going to be able to call in every week at 7:40 a.m., 1 p.m., 4 p.m., and 5 p.m. You got to listen to the Carson Wentz hunting geese sounder. And when you hear it, you'll have to Shazam it. So that's, I mean, like, does anybody not know Shazam at this point? Because it was like one of the original apps that is out there. It's a fantastic app where, you know, you just, you pick, if you hear a song in a bar or if you hear a certain TV show or whatever, all you do is click it and it tells you exactly what it is. So you Shazam it and then you are going to be registered for the contest. You'll be, we'll pick one winner each time and who will win an Eagles cheerleading calendar. And then you're going to be qualified to win the big grand prize at the end of the week, hanging out with the Eagles and Steelers and everybody else in the crew. Maybe we can sneak in there too.
I'll be there if they'll let me be there.
But we are now getting into just kind of what we are looking at in this matchup. And I want to know what you guys are looking for in this matchup. What's exciting you about this? Is it just the amp to getting ready for week 1? It's a home opener. It always feels good when it's a home opener. You don't have to wait for Monday night. You don't have to wait for Sunday night. You can enjoy it. It's at 1 o'clock, 888-729-9494. The phone lines are finally released after that, the madness of Eagles tickets getting away. So we want to hear from you, too. 888-729-9494, #9494 on your AT&T and Verizon cells. So, James, what is the, I guess for you, what's the number one matchup in this football game?
We're talking outside of Carson Wentz, obviously.
You can
say.
Throw it in there,
well,
too. Why not?
I mean, obviously Wentzy, but I'll go another way. I'm going to go with that D-line against the Browns O-line. The Browns offensive line was very disappointing last season, but is a talented group. Joel Bitonio is a really talented guard who had a great rookie season and then bad season last year. Joe Thomas, potentially the best tackle in football on the left side there. So I want to see guys like, you know, Fletcher and Benny and Vinny and Connor and all those guys go up against a potentially at least talented offensive line, even if they didn't produce that well last season. That's a matchup I'm going to be looking at, especially with this new Jim Schwartz defense and, you know, ferociousness, and see if they can get there with four guys, which is what we've talked a lot about.
I know he's a rookie, and I know that, and I'm not actually sure if he's going to be out there and playing a lot. Corey Coleman was one of those guys that I was just like, wow, this kid's a big play player, you know, and that's going to be the kind of deep threat that's going there. So I actually want to see, and it's not just him, too. Terrell Pryor's had a fantastic preseason thus far, has really stuck in there ever since, being like, hey, dude, you're not a quarterback anymore, and has really worked hard on being a wide receiver. So I want to see these new safeties. I want to see BLG's boy McKelvin out there trying to cover one of these speedsters that are one-on-one, because I'm not completely sold on Jalen Mills. Isn't it weird to say that, again, the guy that I trust the most back-to-back years in the secondary is Nolan Carroll on the outside?
Me too.
Thank God they signed him up. So, I mean, I think that's where the kind of weaknesses are going to be. And it goes on to your point where if Fletch and Graham – and all those guys can do their thing, and Benny Logan gets through that middle, it's gonna. We've seen what RG3 panics at the most, and when you have those ferocious front four coming, he's gonna panic and get there. So that eliminates maybe some of the secondary issues that's going on here, BLG. But what are you looking for in this game?
I'm right there with you guys. I mean, RG3 takes sacks. He's been taken down 101 times in 37 games.
Wow.
Like he's really prone to getting back there.
Is that bad?
And it's not great, John. And just going down. And I think, you know, it's going to be important because you look at, you just mentioned some of these Browns receivers. And one thing, for as much as RG3 has struggled and everything here, he can still throw that deep ball. The Eagles saw that
time.
In 2014, oh, yeah. Late in the season when they lost, and DeSean Jackson was making big catches and Pierre Garçon was making big catches. RG3 can throw it deep. And I think it's going to be really important for this Eagles pass rush to get there.
Yeah. And to what John just said, talking about throwing deep, they have two guys who can go deep. And Terrell Pryor is a great point to bring up because he's good now as a wide receiver in Cleveland. And he's big and he's strong and he's fast. He's bigger than anyone on this in this defensive backfield. He's going to be trouble, man. And then when Josh Gordon comes back in 4 weeks, they might have an okay receiving core in Cleveland.
Yeah, and I think the one forgotten guy, at least on the Cleveland Browns, who, I mean, like, you know, he was a fantasy darling last year. And you talk about linebacker depth and you want, you know, Jordan Hicks and there's Stephen Tulloch going around here. Gary Barnridge is, I know he's nothing special,
hey,
right? But I think
unless you owned him in fantasy last year, then you're a big Gary Barnridge fan.
So if they're kind of playing this, I don't know if they're going to go to the Eagles are going to play on that cover too, but if they are, I mean, you start to wonder, okay, well, we know Kendricks probably isn't going to play that much. They re-signed Najee Good today, which we all expected. I think that was just to kind of get through some of the vet salary issues that they have going on through there. But I'm not sure if this linebacking core can cover any of the tight ends.
Yeah, well, especially, look, I know it's a different defense, but how many years have tight ends
every
killed
single
the
time.
Eagles' defense?
It's Everybody been, still remembers
yes,
that Raiders game.
Yes, and that Daniel Fells, which is Darren Fells, one of the two Fellses running down the field with, you know, Eagles hanging all
Byron
over him.
Byron Maxwell,
yeah. I mean, it's just, it's this defense has struggled with tight ends for a while now, and obviously a different defense, but I think Barnage and Duke Johnson out of the backfield is a really
Forgotten
dangerous
name.
Pass weapon. He's 70 catches as a rookie, I think, so that's a guy you got to worry about, too. The Browns' defense is not very good, but this offense at least has some potential. I don't think it's good, but there's something there.
And I tell you what, Isaiah Crowell has been on record to say that he thinks he can get 1,000 yards this season. Well, he ain't going to start against this game, man. He ain't going to start there. That's
yeah,
what I mean.
More
you're going to need
than
Duke
Isaiah
Johnson.
Crowell, I think, in this one.
Which is weird because I think he's going to be the starter here. But just back to the linebackers there for a second, BLG. Like, the still, I think, number one question is how this – is going to get deployed here. I mean, we can buy into the fact that Stephen Tulloch might decide as he's going out the door, he's like, oh, yeah, I'll play special teams. not going to happen, like in my eyes. So what is going to be the setup when he is in there? Is he going to be there on first down, second down? What's the plan for him? Has there been any more information coming out?
Well, speaking of Steven Tulloch and how he came in around the same time that Michael Kendricks, you know, finally got back on the field in that third preseason game and playing late into the game and then playing early in the final Eagles final preseason game against the Jets, which, you know, not so common to see your starting linebacker play in the fourth preseason game. So it's kind of been weird with Michael Kendricks, and he hasn't wanted, he still hasn't talked to reporters since that's happened. So clearly something's going on with him, and it just doesn't feel like, you know, the coaching staff is super high on him right now. But I mean, he's still going to play. It's not like they're just going to have him ride the bench, but it's a weird situation there. I think, you know, the only guys who you're sure are going to be out there, at least the whole game or most of the game, are going to be, you know, Jordan Hicks, obviously in the middle. And, well, maybe he will rotate if Tulloch gets in there. And then, you know, Bradham is obviously your starter at Sam. So it's an interesting group. And I think we're going to see this week, you know, how that situation is going to play out.
That's the number one thing that I guess that's kind of been on my mind there. It's just, you know, how is it? And you even mentioned Duke Johnson. Like, there's a lot of things that could go wrong in the middle. I feel like I am obviously completely confident in the front four and the back end. The front and the back, it's just everything that's in the middle there. I don't know. And maybe I'm overthinking this too, because if that front four is there, safeties can, you know, really take care of any corner problems that you might have. But I'm still kind of worried about that's how they kind of attack this Eagles defense here.
Yeah, especially if RG3 runs. I mean, if that's another issue when you're looking at that middle group, those linebackers, that's going to be an obligation that someone's going to have to take care of. And I think they're going to be okay. I think the defensive line is strong enough where, you know, they'll put enough pressure in there and they'll make enough disruption on that front line that it'll slow down that offense. And RG3, like Brandon said, will kind of be a chicken with his head cut off and taking sacks and whatnot. But I just think that if you go into this game and just say, oh, it's the Browns, I don't think that's necessarily, you know, the right way to look at it, because it's a more talented offense than they were last season.
Yeah, I think that there's just like, and there's a lot of positives here too. Like, I'm not trying to downplay it at all. It's just, I think that the Cleveland Browns are not going to be a pushover here. And I think Vegas kind of told you the same thing too, where we'll get to that and with the NFL picks and how much that has kind of slid there. But maybe I have this wrong, BLG. And I think it's because a lot of the animosity towards the front office and basically calling out the guy that's going to be your starting quarterback, the rookie that came in here, and why they passed. And that's why Cleveland stinks, but there's still Hugh Jackson. There's still some decent pieces on that team, and I don't think they're too far away from where this Eagles team is now. Now, I'm not saying that they end up in the same place, obviously, but, you know, I don't think these guys are pushovers here week one. I think this is a lot more interesting game than it's being televised as.
It could be. I don't think, you know, it's cliche, but there's really never an easy win in the NFL. You know, sometimes we go into looking at these games and like, oh, you know, the Eagles will win easily or even lose easily. Look last year at the Patriots game, and, you know, they went That's into right. New England. There's enough. So you never really know any given Sunday, as they say. You know, I can't feel great about the Browns. You know, it's not like they had this super talented team last year, obviously finishing near the bottom of the league. But still, a lot of the guys who probably maybe were better on that team are gone now. They let them walk in free agency. I think they have something like 14 draft picks on their roster right now. And I think when you include undrafted guys, something like 17, you know, that's a lot of inexperience. You're looking at like special teams and things like that. Like, that's where, you know, a lack of experience could really hurt them, and the Eagles can have an advantage.
Yeah, Brandon, that's a great point about all those undrafted players on the team. And also, just when you look at the Browns roster in general, I don't think they're really trying to win football games this year. You know, you want to say tanking, you want to say whatever. The Browns want that first pick in this upcoming draft, and whether it's Deshaun Watson or Kaiser, whoever they want to take, I think Kaiser's another year away, but either way, I don't think that they are necessarily, you know, no team is going out to lose on Sundays, but I don't think the team has been constructed to try and win as many games as possible. Having said that, I really like Hugh Jackson. I think he's a really, really good football coach. I think he's going to make that offense better just by him being there and being involved in it.
And it might not be in game one, and that's what we can celebrate, because there's nothing more I'd like than, you know, 10 sacks. And, you know, if I want Carson Wentz to throw three touchdowns and, you know, want it to be, you know, 24-3. You know, that would be fantastic. We would all be riding on cloud nine. We'll see how this one ends up. We'll see how we're all feeling without the spread, with the spread. Kyle Scott's coming up. We're going to do NFL picks in about 5 minutes or so right here. It's BGN Radio on 94 WIP.
John Barchard here from BGN Radio, and a lot of people ask me, how do you take your podcast to the next level? How can you do live remotes from different venues? What's the best equipment to use? How do you get started? Well, my friends over at New Media Studios and Trivos have all the answers. It is a complete one-stop shop for all your podcasting needs. A top-of-the-line professional studio with unbeatable prices. You can record your own show with an on-site producer. They'll stream it live, and they'll even host your podcast so they can distribute it to iTunes or any other podcast provider. New Media Studios is also the best in the business if you need to take your podcast on the road. They have everything you need to broadcast live from any venue that you're heading to. And as someone that has been in podcasting for over 10 years, New Media Studios takes all my stress away. I don't have to worry about anything but talking into the microphone. So go check them out at newmediarecordingstudios.com. That's newmediarecordingstudios.com.
This is BGN Radio on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Hey, hey, congratulations to at Zach World Peace. You are the winner of a Carson Wentz jersey. Fresh, new, delicious. We'll be in contact with you via email, DM, all that stuff. Congratulations, my man. We had a contest going for a couple of days, so we felt it was necessary to get everybody ready for the Carson Wentz era, and why not start it out with a jersey here. So we will quickly go to Ryan. Ryan, what's going on, man? How are you?
Hey, what's going on, John?
Oh, it's Ryan Jones. What's happening,
yeah,
man?
Yeah, what's going on? Yeah, just wanted to just wish you guys congratulations and all that. You know, you guys are my guys. I'm happy for you. You guys grind it out harder
appreciate
than anyone.
It, man.
You really, you guys all really deserve this. And same to you, BLG. Obviously, that's a big move going in McManus's shadow. That's a tough task there. But just wanted to just say, this season, I'm a young 20s Eagles fan, and just with having Wentz as the guy, it's just an interesting feeling. I'm really just excited to see what happens this year.
Yeah, I feel the same way, Ryan. How could you not be excited when we have the future staring right in front of us and we're actually going to get to watch him out there?
Yeah, sorry, BLG's mic's on. He wasn't being silent.
He did say thank you, though,
echoed through the ether. What we like to do at the end of the show, we like to take a look around the NFL. We like to kind of see what's going on. So let us hit.
It's the NFL. Time to ring the bell. Here come the BGN Radio NFL picks on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
And as we were, all season long last season, we brought our favorite friend and yours. It is Mr. Kyle Scott from CrossingBroad.com. Kyle, what's happening this evening, man? How are you?
What's going on, guys? Yeah, this is so much better because now, like, unlike Sunday mornings, I'm awake and ready to make
there
the
There it is.
That's right. That's absolutely right. Well, let's waste no more time, my friend, and let us get into the first round. James Zeltzer, where are we heading to first, my friend?
We are heading a little NFC least action in the picks.
I like it.
We are heading down to Jerry World in Dallas. It is a pick'em as of right now as the Giants in Dallas taking on the Cowboys.
So it is, what do you think, Kyle? I mean, like, we've talked back and forth. We've made fun of Dallas pretty much all season. How are you feeling in this one?
You sent me -3, Dallas, so now I gotta read everything.
I definitely said -4. Your reading skills are terrible, Kyle.
It's a pick'em.
It ended up being a pick'em?
Maybe
it opened up at 4.5.
It opened at 4.5.
My bad.
It is now
a pick'em. It is my fault. It is my fault.
Wow, moving heavy in the Giants' direction then. I was actually going to take the Giants to lose but cover. But I'm going to take the Cowboys. I think we're going to be nauseous. By the way, Dak, huge value in DraftKings this week, okay? I think he's going to be pretty good, and next week we're going to be hearing, like, ad nauseum about how he's the future of the Cowboys. So I think the Cowboys win by 21-20 by point.
Yeah, I'll take the Cowboys too. This Giants defense is just no good. I can't trust them to win, and the Cowboys are home.
Ring the bell!
There it is! The first one of the year.
How can you take Dak Prescott, a rookie? All we've seen him in is his preseason. It's vanilla defense, as we've seen nothing from this guy in an NFL football game. The Giants actually went out and did some things this offseason, made their defense a little bit better. That offense is good. I think the Giants win relatively easily.
I don't know about easily, but I can guarantee you we're going to make fun of every single player on this football team. I really do think that it's just the Sterling Shepard, the OB, or the, you know, Odell Beckham kind of combo there, along with Eli. They know the offense, not much has changed there. So I'm also going to stick with the Giants. Where are we heading to next, James?
Let's stay with the whole NFC lease theme as we head to D.C., the nation's capital, Pittsburgh in town. 3-point road favorite, the Steelers.
I am easily taking the Steelers in this one. Kirk Cousins has never beaten a team with a winning record.
Well, there's 0-0, right? So it's still a chance, right?
Yeah, I'm definitely sticking with Pittsburgh here. I just think they don't really have much answer for offensively or defensively here. Kyle, where you got in this one?
Ring it. Take
yes!
the risk.
Yes!
All right. You're going to have Josh Norman against Brown all day long. Wheaton was just ruled out. Martavius Bryant's not playing this season. Brown is Antonio Brown is much less effective without Bryant in the lineup. Two less targets per game. Now you take away Wheaton. You got a very one-dimensional passing game right now with a very good corner in the Redskins. I take the Redskins outright.
How dare you disrespect D'Angelo Williams?
Well, I'm going to do what I found out was a really smart thing to do all of last season and just follow Kyle's pick. I agree. I think Washington wins this. Too many pieces missing for this Pittsburgh team. Like you said, Wheaton just added on. What is Eli Rogers going to be the star of the game? I think Washington not only covers, I think they win it outright.
Wow. Look at that.
How about that?
There we go.
Follow me.
Right.
Follow me. Yeah, follow Kyle into the. He was, I mean, like, he was really
he
on
was
fire.
He was amazing
last
at
season.
It last year. Yes. So, he called it, speaking of that Eagles win in New England, he called
yeah.
that. He called that.
Called it 2 weeks before the game
yeah,
happened.
It was very impressive.
So maybe got to listen in here. Well, you know, we're winding it down, and we're going to bring it home. But where are we heading to next year, sir?
I think we should head to, I don't know, Philadelphia.
Oh,
does
okay,
that work?
Is there a game going on? Oh, that's pretty awesome.
So last we saw the Eagles. The line opened at 7, I believe, and is now down to 3.5. The yeah. Eagles are favored.
It's pretty intense how the Vegas thinks going from Sam Bradford to Carson Wentz is worth a 4-point swing. The Eagles were, I believe, 3-5 against the spread last year. Kyle Scott, who do you have in the home opener?
This might be purely emotional. I mean, the line only moved because of the Bradford trade. They're still getting a half point on a neutral site. If you consider that, I take the Eagles. The Browns stink, and they're talking. I mean, they're a bunch of no names. Their new coordinator. Everyone's talking. Like, shut up. The Eagles are going to win. They might not be that good, but they're going to win. And cover.
Yeah, and win and cover. BLG, what say you?
It's close to me. I think I have the Eagles winning this game 21-17. So it's close, but I will take them to cover.
Where are you heading, my friend?
Oh, I don't want to do this, but I got to ring.
Oh,
this
my
bell!
God! I can't believe you.
I do think the Eagles win the game, and it's very dangerous to take a dog if you don't think they can win. I think the Browns theoretically could win. I think the Eagles pull it out, but I think it's a field goal at best, maybe even a 1 or 2 point win. Caleb Sturgis is how I think the Eagles win the game. I'll just say it like that.
I think.
You know what? At least you're consistent because you said we only saw Dak Prescott in the preseason. I thought you were just going to go. You know, pumping up Wentz.
Yeah.
So I admire your consistency.
Thank you,
sir. Not believing.
I'm with James. I think the Eagles win. I don't think they cover. I think it is a very tight football game. I think it's a pretty sloppy first half. But at the end, the Birds pull out the win. But I'll pocket the money nicely because I don't think that they cover there. So Kyle, I mean, like we've been talking all the whole show about, is Carson Wentz the guy or are people just excited to see Carson Wentz? How many, maybe even you personally, do you think Carson Wentz is the guy right now, or are you just more excited to see something different here?
Right now or in the future? I mean, look, let's be honest. Like, how many Eagles fans have really watched him more than YouTube highlights and maybe one game in North Dakota State, right? We know what we read. We know what we see in training camp. We know what we read about training camp. We know the very limited preseason action we saw. By all accounts, like, everything is turning up Wentz. By all accounts, everything you read about him, he's got the skill set, he's got the intelligence, he seems like he's got the right head on his shoulders. It might take a while. I think he's going to be pretty raw this year, but it's going to be fun to watch. Just seeing him get outside the pocket like he did just a few times. Granted, he might get himself killed, but he's bigger than what we've had in terms of running quarterbacks like Vic. I think it's really exciting. I think it'll be pretty decent.
I'm not expecting much, but look, it's, at this point, what else do we have to cling on to? the fact that we have a quarterback who was drafted second overall when just last year it looked like this team was stuck in neutral at the position, mm-hmm. I'll take it.
Yeah, and I think every one of us
kind of echoed what I thought and what I've said. It's dead on.
Kyle, we appreciate the time, bud. You'll be joining us every
each
show.
And every week. Kyle's going to come in and give us those nuggets, winners.
We need to gamble on this in some way.
Yeah, we're going to keep track. We'll come up with some fun little way to
sandwiches, Snickers bars. You know, whatever works. I'm a fat kid. It's all good. Kyle, we appreciate it, man. We'll be checking more out at crossingbroad.com.
Say it.
So, you know, I guess kind of final thoughts as we're rolling out here. BLG, give me the MVP on both sides of the football on Sunday.
Carson Wentz for offense, obviously. I mean, who else could it be? And on defense, I'm going to go Brandon Graham. I think, you know, he's a really good fit in this 4-3 defense. I think he's going to have a big day sacking RG3.
Can I say Carson Wentz for both? No? All right. I'll just go Carson Wentz. And how about, look, we had two guys that we were super hyped about this offseason. So I'm going to say Carson Wentz is the MVP of the offense and Jimmy Schwartz is the offense.
Look at that, Jimmy Schwartz, because his schemes are so blessed and beautiful. And I can't. Yeah, Carson Wentz playing both ways. That's what makes
a
real quarterback, right?
He's from North Dakota. He's a man. He's tough. He can go both ways. Come on.
Stick him in linebacker.
He's an iron man.
I will say that I'm going to go Jordan Matthews MVP because I believe that he's going to have to dig down deep and get some massive catches towards the end of this one. Defensively, I mean, like, it's obvious, and I know it's obvious, but Fletcher Cox is going to come in there and make us all just... speechless.
Speechless,
just,
yes.
We just drop our pants and go, okay.
Defensive player of the year. He's starting that season out right now.
All the quarterback paying, you know,
so,
type of money. It all goes
point.
Out the window.
The Aaron Donald. How many do we hear? Aaron Donald. Fletcher Cox is as good a player as Aaron Donald.
Absolutely. And we're going to see it on Sunday. We hope to see you there as well. Coming up, we're going to do leading off. The Phillies are coming up at 6:30 here. We'll kind of kick things off. And I'll be taking you through Phillies lineups and everything else. We appreciate everybody tuning in to the debut episode of BGN Radio right here on Sports Radio WIP.